Welcome to the College Commons Podcast and our acclaimed author series, a partnership between HUC Connect, the online learning platform of the Hebrew Union College, and the Jewish Book Council, featuring conversations with authors recognized by the National Jewish Book Awards. My name is Joshua Holo, your host. Welcome to this episode of the College Commons Podcast and our conversation with author Lihi Lapid. Lihi Lapid is a best-selling Israeli author, photojournalist, columnist, and activist, and a leading voice for women's rights and parents of children with special needs in Israel. She lives in Tel Aviv with her husband, Yair Lapid, a former prime minister of Israel, and their two children. On Her Own is Lihi Lapid's third novel, which was a finalist for the 2024 National Jewish Book Award. Lihi Lapid, welcome and thank you for joining us on the College Commons Podcast.
Thank you so much for hosting me and nice to be here.
Introduce us, if you would, to your new book, On Her Own.
It's a book I wrote and was published in Israel 3 years ago, but published last year in America. Nina, age 18, is running away from bad people that are after her. She's hiding in an old building in Tel Aviv, under the stairs somewhere, when at 5 o'clock in the morning, Carmela, an old woman, is going down the stairs. She sees Nina. Nina wants to escape. And then Carmela looks at her and say, "Oh, Dana, my Dana, you came back for me." She's not Dana, she's Nina, but she goes and lives with this old woman, Carmela, and trying to be her granddaughter until she will find where else to go. So that's the beginning. Carmela is a mother of a soldier that died 30 years ago, and she misses him a lot, and her only living son left Israel and lives in America like so many Israelis. And you know what? Even I think a lot of young people around the world are going after their dreams far away from their parents. So it's a family story combined with a very, very Israeli story with an adolescence of a young woman that wants to conquer the world.
I want to pick up on one of the major themes in your book. It's the theme of beauty. And it affects both Nina, who is notably both young and very beautiful, and the men around her. From Nina's perspective, how does her social status and her relationship with her mother affect her own sense of beauty?
I'll tell you, I started writing about it because there is something today with this Instagram generation that it looks like if you are beautiful, you can have it all. And Nina sees it as a key to open doors because she lives in a little town in the desert and she wants to conquer the world and she wants to be famous and she wants to have it all. And she treats her beauty as a key to open doors. But what I wanted to talk about, and we see it so many times, the young women, they don't know that, you know, there is this song, "Hey Baby, It's a Wild World," and you think you are in love, but the other side is not in love, but is using a little bit, maybe using a lot your youth and your beauty. And I think that as a woman that is not so young anymore, which means me, I wanted to talk about this thing, about the disappearing of beauty with years going by and the fact that you need to trust yourself, not the way you look, but to be strong and to have a lot of people that you are connected with, that you trust them and that they are not using you.
You also interpret men's reactions to Nina's beauty, and one might expect, given the fact that Nina is escaping physical male violence, that her beauty elicits primarily aggressive or possessive or obsessive qualities in men. And in some ways she does, that you described. But I noticed that you also go out of your way to point out how her beauty also elicits nostalgic and even humble aspects of men's characters. Were you trying to show a softer side to the power of beauty?
Yes, I think that there's a few pages that I'm talking about men that look at her beauty and it looks so far away from them because she's so young and she's unreachable for them. The thing that I wanted to talk about is that her mother says to her, you need to study, you need to learn, you need to accomplish something with yourself. And she says, wow, why do I need it? I can open doors with my beauty. And she doesn't listen to her mother. And at the end, her mother was right.
One of the questions people like to ask is, what distinguishes human beings from other species? I once heard on the radio that one of the things that distinguishes the human species in all of nature is the fact that whereas most mammals, for example, have very strong relationships with their parents, human beings are the only ones, from what I heard, that have a relationship with their grandparents. And Carmela, one of our heroes, has three really powerful and complicated grandparental relationships with Dana, whom she desperately misses, who's growing up in America, with Nina, whom she replaces for Dana, partially out of dementia and partially out of her sheer yearning to connect with Dana, who's far away, and with Ariel, whom she doesn't really know. What does the unique relationship between grandparent and grandchild mean for your characters and for what you're trying to communicate?
I think with grandparents and grandkids, we have family love without all the complexity of parents and kids. With the grandparents, it's just pure love. I think there is something about age of grandparents that they are realizing that those little sweet creatures that maybe have something in their eyes resembles you will live after you. And there is something so strong about it. And we accept our grandparents with just joy and love. This is the only totally unconditional love. And what I try to write in this book, that sometimes it's such an unconditional love that she doesn't care it's not her granddaughter.
The College Commons podcast belongs to HUC Connect, the online platform for continuing education from the Hebrew Union College. HUC Connect includes webinars, syllabi for community learning, and masterclasses for HUC alumni, with interviews, expert panels, and classroom materials on topics ranging from the arts to civil society, Israel, and much more. Check us out at huc.edu/HUC Connect. Now, back to our interview.
Israeli Memorial Day is one of the pivotal dates in the book, which is the primary day for Carmela's family to mourn and remember her son, Uri. What does the power of Memorial Day in Israel, as contrasted, for example, to Memorial Day in the United States, explain about the social fabric of Israeli society?
One thing was very important for me. When people read this book, it's a book about Israel, but it's a book not about Jerusalem, but about Tel Aviv. The main story is about a family of a soldier that died long ago in the army. And for me, the special thing is that whoever reads it realizes something that people don't understand in other ways, that a soldier for us Israelis, it's not like a combat machine, someone that wanted to be Rambo and drafted to the in order to kill, but it's just our kids, like my son, like every other son or girl that get to the age of 18 and needs to go to the army to protect his country. And I think that's something that goes into the book very gently. Her son that died protecting his country. And it's very significant for me that it goes out now when the dispute about Israel is so difficult and so difficult to tell our stories.
Going back to the very personal, when Irina, Nina's mother, goes to the police to file a missing persons report for Nina, whom she's worried about and she doesn't know where she is, we learn that Irina, the mother, is only 37 years old. But the story of her reveals that her soul is much older. What ages Irina's soul, and for that matter, I guess anybody's soul?
Irina is an immigrant from Russia to Israel. And the generation that is immigrating is a generation that pays a big price. Because when you grow in a certain language, certain culture, and then you move and you are an outsider and you are an immigrant, you have an accent, you do it in order for your kids to have better lives. And it makes those people older in a way. So even if you are 37 or 40, which for me looks now very, very young, but when you are 20-year-old and you have a 2-year-old daughter and you don't have a father and you need to take care of her and you are in a different country and you are all alone without a supporting family, you become much older.
Nina, who has to leave her home, and Itamar, who also goes far away from home, and perhaps some other characters, they have to leave. They have to get lost in order to find themselves in the end, which is, of course, one of the great themes of literature and life. Why do we need to leave and get lost in order to find ourselves?
Because when we are with the people that know us, we can't think about ourselves without what they think about us. And in order to feel if you are really strong or not, if it's really your dream or not, if you can handle life by yourself, if you are in love, you know, there is this thing, if you love somebody, send them free or something like that. It's like from time to time, we need to get a little bit away from our own lives in order to see it. Otherwise, we're hearing the same voices of ourselves and of other people about us.
What surprised you in writing this book? What perspective or idea of yours changed?
Part of it was because I wrote it when my father was sick and he passed away, and that at the end, family is what's important. The book was published in Israel and I dedicated it to my sister, that with her, I'm here with my parents all those years and we're raising the kids together and everything. And then the book was published at 2024 in America. And on the time between it was published in Israel and it was published in the States, my brother got sick and passed away. And this book in English, it's dedicated to my brother. Written, his name was Daddy Man. Dear Daddy, I missed you for so many years and now I will miss you forever. So I think the lesson that I learned from this whole amazing, heartbreaking journey of the book is that whenever we have time to be with our loved ones, we just need to spend it together, because when something very bad is happening, we just want to be together in a family dinner when everybody are fighting, laughing, and singing.
Lee Lapid, thank you so much for the conversation, for sharing yourself and your thoughts and your book On Her Own. Congratulations for its success, and I look forward to our next conversation in your next book.
Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the College Commons Podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And check out HUC Connect, compelling conversations at the forefront of Jewish learning. For more information about all that HUC Connect has to offer, visit huc.edu/HUC Connect.